Grace and peace to you in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the church says, Amen. Amen. Our text is the gospel. Let us pray as we hear the word of God this Easter day. Risen Lord, all praise, glory, adoration to you this holy day. As we gather now to worship you, to hear your word, bless us as we hear. Give us faith, work in us understanding, work in us repentance, and draw us close to you. We pray for the Holy Spirit to come upon each one of us. Give us faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let him who has ears hear the word of the Lord. Let me say it again. Let him who has ears hear what? The word of the Lord. So who has ears? I didn't say eggs. Get some of those after church maybe. You got ears. So hear the word of the Lord. And pay attention. This is going to be fast. I'm always kind of fast. Easter's fast. Easter's quick. The angel says to the women quickly, don't be afraid. He's not here. He's risen. Come see the place, and then go. Go quick, get out of here, go, and tell the disciples he's risen. It's all very fast. Lent is a slow season. Lent's pondering, meditation, slow down. Easter's quick. He's alive. He saved us. Believe. Repent now. Be baptized now. Believe. And get it out and spread the good word. There's a dying world out there. You've got to get out there and go. So you have ears. Pay attention. Listen. Sit up. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, maybe 20, Pat. Not 25, not even 20. Four things about Easter. For your edification, your learning. Then you go quick. You got a dying world out there, and you're a witness to Christ. First of all, as I look at the Easter gospel, the gospel begins with trembling. The gospel begins with trembling. Reverence, fear, shaking. As I read this story, there is a great earthquake as the women come to the tomb. Not a small little tremor. The Greek word really means a violent earthquake that does damage. This is a big earthquake. If you recall, there was an earthquake on Good Friday, and dead bodies came out of the tomb, and the temple curtain was ripped. Another big earthquake, back-to-back earthquakes within 3 days. What is God doing? God is shaking his world. God is saying, pay attention, dead world. Wake up, apathetic dead people. Wake up and realize I am God and there is no other. Do not put your hope in your money. It's going to go away. Don't put your hope in your possessions, your job, your goodness, your good works. Don't put your hope in any of that. It's fast fleeting. It can go away. It can shake the earth and get rid of that stuff. I am your God. I am your rock. I am your refuge. Put your hope in me. Mary Magdalene and the women must be looking for something to hold on to. And notice at the end they hold on to Jesus. They clasp his feet. He's the one we hold on to. Wake up, you sleepy heads. Wake up, church. Wake up, world. God loves us. God forgives us. God's reconciled to us. God died. God rose. He saved us. It's finished. Wake up. Do you know what your God has done for you? He's done something greater than the Red Sea. Greater than knocking down the walls of Jericho. Greater than slaying Goliath with David's stone. Our God has conquered sin. He's conquered death. He's conquered all of hell. He has saved and delivered poor sinners like you and I who don't deserve it. That's what our God's done. And will the church go back to sleeping? Or will the church wake up? Trembling, a good shake from our God. You know, at Easter we smile. Happy Easter. Good to smile. We shake hands. Pat on the back. If you meet your family today, probably an Easter hug. All that's wonderful. I want to begin what I call the Easter shake. All right? You're at your family dinner. Someone is there who's strained from the Lord, doesn't care a lot about God, living the worldly life of money and fame and pleasure and sport. And you, dear friend, go up and give them a little Easter. Don't hurt them. Just grab them by their shoulders. A little Easter shake from God. Wake up, friend. What's your relationship with God like? Do you know He loves you, friend? He forgives you. He's on your side. Will you believe and repent and be baptized and come to your Lord? It's urgent. Time is now. Will you wake up, friend? A little Easter shake. Secondly, we move on. Easter continues with triumph. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15. Say it with me. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't say it. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You're stuck on He is risen, aren't you? Okay. Triumph. As you look at the scene, it's a scene of triumph. Victory. We're winners in Christ. Two things about triumph. The women see a bunch of dead, half-dead soldiers. When they go to the tomb, they're probably worried about these big, bad Roman soldiers guarding the tomb. What are we going to do about those guys? And now the Roman soldiers, because of the angel and the stone wall, they're as if they're half dead. They're trembling half dead. They've been knocked over. The women probably smiled, giggled. Look at the soldiers. They're down. God is saying, I've defeated all your enemies. Rome cannot come between you and I. Caiaphas can't come between you and I. All the Roman soldiers can't become between you and I. Nothing can separate you and I anymore. Not the world, not Rome, not the Jews, not sin, not death, not all the hell. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. The bad guys are defeated. They're gone, laid waste. But there's more victory. The victory is that we've been saved from the bad guys. But there's more. We've been saved into glory. And thus they see this angel. And this angel shines like lightning, clothing white as snow. Glory. Bad guys are gone. Now we enter glory. The kingdom of God. Righteousness, holiness, the angels, the saints. That's the victory. Saved from the bad, enter the good. And this angel is here not to teach us people what angels look like. The angel's an object lesson for you and I. For Jesus says we will be like the angels in glory. We're not going to be angels, but be like the angels. The angel, in a way, represents you and I in glory. We, because of His resurrection, we're going to rise. You're sick, you're dying, you're diseased, you're in pain. God be with you and help you now. Take hope and comfort. There's the resurrection of the dead. And we're going to shine like lightning, shine like the sun, be as white as snow in the righteousness of Jesus. No more sin, no more death, no more dying. With the saints forever and ever in glory, a new body, a powerful body, a glorious body. That's all ours, represented by this angel. The bad guys are gone. We enter the glory of the kingdom of God. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I will rise. I will rise indeed. Hallelujah. You guys are kind of slow today, but it's okay. I read where scientists are doing research on a particular animal. And this animal may help us live longer. You know, we thank God for scientists that help with this life. Sure. And they're investigating this, they're exploring this animal. It may help us live longer because of certain attributes it has. It might make us live longer. You know what animal it is? Our great hope for living longer, the animal is the jellyfish. Our great hope in the jellyfish. We can live longer now because of jellyfish. Well, if God so wills it, so be it. We're still going to die, even if we live a little longer. Easter says, don't put your hope in some fish or anything else. Put your hope in Jesus. And you will not just live longer. You'll live forever in glory. That's our hope. You're a winner in Jesus. Maybe you lost your job. You're losing in some relationship. You're sick, losing your health. You're a winner in Jesus. You're victorious. Thirdly, there's Easter touching, moving right along. The story gets better. They see the dead soldiers. They see the angel. But then who do they see? They see Jesus. The story gets a lot better. And what do they do when they see Jesus? He says, greetings. This is very important. They bow down and hold on to his feet. They touch his feet. That's where the church belongs, at the feet of Jesus, holding on to the feet of Jesus. And they worship him. Very important that grabbing a hold of Jesus, touching Jesus, is worship. Touching Jesus is worship. Worship is not giving God a glance now and then. Thinking about some facts about God as I lay in bed or play golf, I'm worshiping. That's not worship. That's hypocrisy. Worship's not thinking about God. Worship is coming in the presence of Jesus. It's coming in the very presence of Jesus, clasping his feet, touching him, and receiving his gifts. That's worship. That's worship. It's as if Jesus is saying, you want to be like that angel? You like that angel. Lightning, glory, heaven. You want to be like that angel? Touch me. You go to glory through me. Get on your knees and grab a hold of me. And when you touch me, grab me in faith. Then you have glory. Then you'll shine like the sun. You'll be like lightning, as white as snow. Touch me. And that's how you get the glory. Because when we touch Christ, then he takes away the sin. He takes away the death. He takes away the wretchedness and all that. And he gives me his glory, his righteousness, his holiness. That's what happens when you touch Jesus. Now you're asking, well, Pastor, how in the world do I touch Jesus? Those are the women back then 2,000 years ago. How do I touch this Jesus? You do it today. It's called grabbing him with your ears as you love his word. You grab him with your ears. You touch him with your ears and you hear his word regularly. And then you will grab him at the table and take his risen body in your hand, his risen blood, the crucified risen one. You will grasp here in faith and eat and drink. And you tell me you don't touch Jesus? That's called worship. Hearing, eating, drinking for the forgiveness of sins. And then, of course, we praise him and thank him. My point being, all you do is glance at Christ now and then. You think about him now and then as you stay in bed. That's not worship. That's a fake Christian. That's a nominal Christian. A Christian comes before Jesus and hears and eats and drinks and loves every bit of it to have the forgiveness and grace of God and to be in glory. That's a Christian. Easter egg hunt today. When do you know for sure that you have the Easter egg, child? If I see the egg in the lawn, is it my egg? I see one over there. Does that make it my egg? Not in my family. I'm near the egg. I'm running Pastor Busher. He runs a 9.5 in about the 50, Pat. I'm running. I'm near the egg. Does that make it my egg? No. I got other family that's quicker than me. I think about the egg. I cry for the egg. It's my egg. It's my egg. Does that make it my egg? No. It's my egg when I pick the thing up in my hand and grab it, and I make sure my brothers or my family doesn't grab it from me. Then it's my egg when I grasp it. You want Jesus? You want the forgiveness of sins? It's not when you see him afar. I see you, Jesus. I think about you. It's when you come to God's house and you hear his holy word, you hear his absolution, and you grab his body and blood. Then you have him. The Easter touch. And it is life. But so many of us want to just keep him at a distance. And that's hypocrisy. That saves no one. And to finish up then, dear friends, there is the Easter truth. This is the climax. The great Easter truth. Is this true or not? This great passage. Easter's not a myth. It's not pie in the sky. It's not some wishful thinking. It's not speculation. It's not the opinion of ministers. It is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Jesus is God, as I told the kids. A lot of fake stuff at Easter time. Jesus is God. That's not fake. He is God. It's the truth, and Easter proves it. His word is true. Easter proves it. There's salvation in Jesus. Easter proves it. He's the resurrection. He's the life. Easter proves it. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Easter proves it. He's my Savior. Easter proves it. This is the truth. It's salvation. And this may be your last time to hear about it. Who knows? This may be God's last call to you. To hear. To believe. To repent. To be baptized. I don't know. Might be your last time to come and have faith. To come and touch and be saved. Who knows? Read a story about truth that I'll finish up with. Someone writes, "We had just finished tucking our kids into bed when 3-year-old Billy began to wail. Turns out he had accidentally swallowed a penny and was sure he was going to die. Desperate to calm him, my husband palmed a penny that he had in his pocket and pretended to pull it from Billy's ear. Billy was delighted. In a flash, he snatched it from my husband's hand, swallowed it again, and demanded, 'Do it again, Dad.' The father didn't tell his son the truth. Does our father tell us the truth? We got a problem. It's not a penny in the belly. Our problem is wretched sin in our hearts, minds, souls, and bodies ravaging us. And the Father's honest about it. He doesn't magically make it go by pulling it from our ears. It's not magic. It's His great, powerful mercy in Jesus. He tells us the truth. You're a sinner. But in my Son Jesus, by His suffering on the cross, He has bore your sins. All your sin, your wretchedness, your diseases, your sicknesses, your death, your hell. He took it all into His body. That's how you get rid of it. Not magic from the ear, but in the person and body of Christ on a cross. And He rose again in power over it. That's how you're saved. That's the truth. Believe it, child. You were a sinner, now you're a saint. You were an enemy, now you're a child of God. You were forsaken, now you are forgiven. You were rejected, now you are redeemed. And rejoice. That's the truth. So, He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. 4 Easter points to consider. Now, you go. Go quickly to a dying world. Go to your neighbor, your friend, your boss. Go and tell the good news that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Let's rise and sing.